The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Najagle Ago.
In the headlines, governance expert calls for legislative instruments to guide presidents on content of... A political and governance expert, Dr. Eric Oduosai, has called for a legislative instrument to guide successive presidents on the content of their State of the Nation address. Speaking on Behind the News, Dr. Oduosai explained that the guidelines should spell, such as the Fulani menace, former Guantanamo Bay detainees, the IMF package, and the 10-year national development plan.
The president indicated the things that he's been able to do over the past 1 year, and to some extent, his period in office. In my view, the challenge is that we have not, as a nation, been able to properly define the content of a State of the Nation address. The reason is that previous or successive governments have always used the occasion to tell their story. This is what Ghanaians want to hear. This is not what the article in the Constitution really wants the president to do. In my view, the article in the Constitution that requires the president to give a State of the Nation address requires the president to give a status quo report of the nation as he has presided over the period 1 year. He failed to mention another issue which is impacting on internal security, and I think he also did not dwell so much on the two Guantanamo Bay in this country. I know the foreign minister may have explained it to parliament, but as commander-in-chief, I was expecting his excellency the president to add his weight and throw more light on that one. Again, I was expecting the president to give us a status quo report on where we are with the IMF program. We have gone through the IMF program over a year now. He should have given us a status quo report, a status, where is Ghana now with the IMF program? The next area I was expecting the president to also mention or highlight on is the 40-year long-term development plan. This was initiated and plans are far advanced to have this document developed. This is a very good move. I was expecting the president to give us a status quo report on where we are in terms of developing a long-term national development plan for the Republic of Ghana. So I know that going forward as a nation, let us develop subsequent allies or subsequent acts to the article that requires presidents to deliver State of the Nation addresses and provide minimal contents that should be in such a statement of State of the Nation address.
Political and governance expert Dr. Eric Oduosai.
An economist, Dr. John Gatti, said ordinary commitments from government to achieve that. He spoke to Ibrahim Kwating.
It's a safe case for the president and for the economy in general this time around, because every election year we have this program. We are in the middle of the IMF program, which focuses very much on fiscal discipline, and the issue of controlling our over expenditures in this election year is one of the key focus in the program. All the stakeholders have talked about this, and the president is indicating his commitment. We only have to wait and see how the fiscal year will end. But I believe the president alone and his team cannot achieve this. We can only achieve this on the back of collaboration and support from all the stakeholders in the game. We're talking about labor and the demand for various towns, traditional areas, constituencies. Already we started hearing some areas saying that without specific provision of items to them, they will not participate in the electioneering process. These are the things that will make the president to do things in the interest of people in the substance that we all pay for it in terms of budget overall.
Are you implying that despite the commitment of the president to ensure there is no budget overrun, certain factors could push him to renege on that promise?
Exactly. Even though a budget ought to make allocation for what I may call miscellaneous or things that we may not necessarily foresee, if those things increase in number and the financial commitment goes beyond what is anticipated, then definitely you are going to overspend in the interest of those emerging issues. We have started seeing that. So if we are not able to control that going into the election year, then they talk about controlling over expenditure this particular time may be undermined.
Doc, aside those pressures which naturally would come in an election year, the desire to win an election has been an intuitive feeling among most incumbents. Isn't this going to be another enticing factor that could push the president to renege on the promise he made?
The desire to win also depends on the achievement and the posturing of the government for and during election year. If majority of people appreciate the projects and programs that you have anticipated and you communicate that effectively, you do not need to invest in a lot of money to entice voters before they vote for you. So if whether we are going to overspend or not also depends on how people are appreciating what the government has already done.
On the injection of capital infrastructure despite the economic challenges, Dr. Gatti said the visibility of such projects cannot be doubted. He, however, said more needs to be done by government to fulfill the aspirations of the people.
The programs officer of the President Farmers Association, Victoria Adongo, says more needs to be done to restore agriculture as the mainstay of the country's economy. She decried the persistent drop in production of cocoa and the president's failure to touch on steps to ensure food security. Madam Adongo is therefore calling for a review of government's interventions towards improving the agricultural sector.
We have smallholder cocoa farmers. Actually, most cocoa farmers are smallholders, and coffee farmers are also smallholders, most of them. Coffee is a very untapped area. As it says, we do export coffee, and coffee has the good potential of bringing in hard currency in the country, and I think it is very much untapped at the moment. We do have smallholder farmers on cocoa, and everything that you're saying about cocoa is long, long overdue. Cocoa is the second largest producer in the world, next to agriculture. But we have been declining over the years. So there's something wrong there. And I don't, cocoa has always had the chance, a better chance than even food crop farmers, where inputs like fertilizer and other things are concerned. But you see that the cocoa industry is declining by the day. So I don't see what significant change with the free fertilizer that is given to the cocoa farmers and this food. We've always been there, but the cocoa industry is declining.
Will you see what the president said gives hope to those engaged in that sector?
Well, you know, he spoke so much about cocoa, coffee, oil palm, and shea. And, you know, before he even started talking about agriculture, he said agriculture used to contribute about 50% to GDP. Now agriculture is contributing 21%, which is a terribly decline in contributing to GDP. Now the plan is to increase agriculture contribution to GDP. So he is concentrating on crops that can be exported and that will bring in money to augment agriculture GDP.
Victoria Adongo is the programs officer of the President Farmers Association.
The minority leader, Osaichi Mensa Bunsu, says President Mahama's State of the Nation address did not reflect the real situation of the country. He said the president pushed the economy to the background in his presentation. At a news conference shortly after the president's speech, Mr. Mensa Bunsu noted that an attempt to advance the course of the country should dwell on the economy. The minority leader said it appeared the president was addressing a party rally with his evidence-based presentation.
It was a tragedy of a presentation. And for the avoidance of doubt, the president presented untruths, palpable untruths, half-truths, and embellished truths. Indeed, the background of the presentation last year was the infestation of cholera in this country, occasioned by the heaps of filth in the country, which they themselves are pledged to be able to clean up in 100 days upon assuming government. They're not able to do that. What is the state of health of this country? Health insurance is collapsing. And he spoke about attempts to clear some arrears. This Assembly Common Fund, Jeff Fund, and the health insurance funds, they are all in arrears. Contractors have not been paid for 2 years, and the president is jittering on these matters. What is the state of the economy? He pushed it to the background because one thought that advancing the course of this country will be predicated on the economy, solid economy, by every aspect: GDP growth rate, interest rate, inflation, the strength of the of our currency. By every yardstick, our country is not doing well. That is, economically, agriculture is in the doldrums, growing at just 0.04%. How do we generate growth? How do we generate employment with such tragic growth in agriculture? Industry is faltering. These are the hard realities of the times. What the president did was an exercise in just propaganda. And one thought that he was addressing a party rally at Osu, or maybe at Bonny Bamboy.
The minority leader Osei Mensa Bunsu addressing a news conference in Parliament shortly after President Mahama's State of the Nation address.
President John Mahama was heckled beyond the usual by the minority in Parliament yesterday as he delivered a State of the Nation address. This prompted the Speaker, Edwardu Ajahu, to intermittently call the House to order. Pascalina Dadevo reports that though the Speaker of Parliament looked unhappy with the behavior of the MPs, President Mahama did not seem bothered as he smiled along.
Dressed in a beautiful batakari, President Mahama took to the podium to deliver his last State of the Nation address of his first term. His address can be termed as an evidence-based one, as he provided a tall list of examples of his accomplishments, which were also pictorial. For the first time, people who had benefited from the Changing Lives and Transforming Ghana agenda were present in the gallery, as President Mahama introduced them one after the other. As the president trumpeted his achievements, the minority side booed, cheered, and made gestures that suggested they were just not interested. As the noise intensified, President Mahama periodically chipped in some jokes.
The speaker, in order to empower headquarters currently and reduce their vulnerability, we set up a coordinated gender-based response center at Maramata and other village market as a pilot to provide humanitarian support, counseling services, and psychosocial support to currently and market leaders. The speaker, I think this approval will return there.
Speaker of Parliament Edwardu Ajahu had to intervene with his usual order command, but his voice was drowned as the cameras zoomed in on him. It was obvious he was not happy with the rowdiness of the minority MPs. The minority MPs came into the chamber just few minutes before the arrival of the first gentleman adorned in mourning apparels. It was confusing as one could not tell the dark clothes was to signify that they were mourning their departed colleague Joseph Wachidankwa Edu, or it was in purpose to the president's address. The minority had different A4 sheets with inscriptions like mediocrity, cheer, incompetence galore, pay DKM customers, NHIS is collapsing, excessive borrowing, Mahama breath, and the latest hit by Shatawale Kakai was also included. They cunningly waved red cards in disapproval of statements made by the president that indicated he was sure of a second term.
During this term, my first term as president, we have consciously developed strategies. During this term, my first term as president, change is taking place. Mr. Speaker, I don't think you heard me. I said change is happening. Change is happening. It is taking place. Ghana is being transformed.
The majority side was excited and urged President Mahama on as he delivered his three-hour address. More often, they cheered on the president with the usual, yeah. The majority side was also current. They had a hit slogan too, Yewukrum. As President Mahama rounded up his address, both sides released different renditions of a popular Christian song. Radio Ghana, Pascaline Adadeji.
Now, this newscast to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Governance expert calls for legislative instrument to guide presidents on content of station of the nation address. Parliament urged to pass Public Health Act on tobacco. NCCE and peace promoters join forces to ensure peace at electoral flashpoints. And FIFA elects new president today. You can get through to the Radio Ghana newsroom on WhatsApp number 056-02-66551. The number again to reach us on WhatsApp is 056-02-66551.
DBC mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
Welcome back. The NCCE, in collaboration with the National Peace Council and the Small Arms Commission, are undertaking a peace-building exercise in some flashpoints across the country. This is to minimize conflicts in such communities and create the necessary environment for the sustenance of democratic governance. The efforts by the NCCE is also geared towards the promotion of peace in this year's election. In a statement, the NCCE said, conflicts prevent citizens from exercising their democratic rights and also discharge their daily activities peacefully. The beneficiary communities are Alavanyo, Pebne, and Nkunya Ahinkro in the Volta region, Tamale, Bunkurugu, and Yendi in the northern region, Akwetia in the eastern region, Bogatanga and Boko in the upper east region. The rest are Akukom in the Bonoafo region, Nandom in the upper west region, and Old Tafo in the Ashanti region.
A two-day training for the media on promoting responsible and peaceful electoral leadership is underway in Ho. A training which has brought together selected journalists and media practitioners from the southern zone of the country, including Western, Greater Accra, Central, and Volta regions, is being organized by an NGO, the Legal Resources Center, and sponsored by the British High Commission. The facilitator and Eastern Regional Executive Director of the National Peace Council, Peter Abuzo, cautioned journalists against overdependence on social media for their news gathering, because most people on such media are not trained journalists, yet public perception includes them as such. The General Coordinator of Communication for Development and Advocacy Consult, Francis Amaibo, cautioned journalists against allowing their personal opinion and preferences to sway them in their reportage. He urged journalists to promote and disseminate truthful and biased political and electoral news to feed the public.
A WHO report indicates that tobacco use will kill about 1 billion people worldwide if nothing is done to implement laws on the product. About 6 million die from tobacco annually. Stakeholders in tobacco control have therefore called on Parliament to immediately pass the LI on the Public Health Act 2012, Act 851. At a national forum on Ghana's tobacco control legislation in Accra, Vice President of the Coalition of NGOs in Health, Oscar Bruce, said since Ghana signed onto the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control about 8 years ago, the LI on tobacco control has not seen the light of day. Baba Utu reports.
The National Forum on the Implementation of the Tobacco Control Regulation was attended by the Ministry of Health, Civil Society and Youthful Groups on Tobacco Control. Mr. Bruce called for the LI to be passed at the earliest possible time to save many youths from preventable death.
Through the efforts of civil society and other stakeholders, Ghana was able to come up with the Public Health Act of 2012, and what we call the Act 851, which included the tobacco control measures. The act was passed on July 11, 2012, was assented on October 9, 2012, and gazetted on October 16, 2012. As you are aware, a law can only be effectively implemented after a legislative instrument has been passed by Parliament to accompany it. in on behalf of civil society organizations in tobacco control in particular and the public in general, called for the immediate passing of the legislative instrument for the Tobacco Control Measures of Public Health Act to save present and succeeding generations of Ghanaians from the scourge of tobacco use.
The CEO of the Mental Health Authority, Dr. Akwesiose, explains the dangers of tobacco to users and secondary users.
Tobacco has numerous effects, right from the mouth to the anus. On the mouth, it causes cancer of the mouth, the lips, cancer of the tongue, discoloration of the teeth, going down, cancer of the throat, cancer of the liver, a cancer of various parts of the body. Going further, it can lead to diabetes, because what it leads to is that it leads to closing of the small vessels of the body. And if it leads to this, the closure of the small vessels, the capillaries, then you don't have blood going to various parts of the organ. Tobacco can also lead to hair loss because of its effects. Both the man and the woman, tobacco can affect your ability to get pregnant. It can reduce your sperm counts. It can make your sperm not viable.
The head of Tobacco and Substances Abuse Department of the Food and Drugs Authority, Mrs. Olivia Boateng, said her outfit will intensify the use of pictorials on the dangers of smoking. This, she believes, will enhance education on the negative effect of the product for the larger society, especially the semi-illiterate.
You know, we have banned at the present promotion and sponsor. So the only thing they have now, the smoker has with you or she will carry with him, is the package. So the information on it is very crucial to us. And Afro Region had validated some set of pictures. A consultant took it around the nation and pre-tested it to find out people's appreciation of even the pictures. So those pictures have been validated. And that is what from henceforth we put on the packages, so that the youth or the very young ones who cannot read and understand, or low literacy groups who cannot understand what they read, the pictures might tell the story to them.
Mrs. Boateng reiterated that the FDA is committed to ensuring a tobacco-free society in Ghana.
Baba Utu reporting.
Still on health. Malnutrition remains a major challenge for millions of children in Ghana and the world in general. It is estimated that about 50% of deaths in developing countries are as a result of malnutrition. This notwithstanding, it remains one of the latest, least addressed health problems. Deputy Director General of the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Gloria Kwanzaa-Sari, said this at a dissemination workshop on the International Lipid-Based Nutrient Supplements in Accra. She said malnutrition has serious consequences for the health and survival of those affected, as it also impairs intelligence, strength, energy, productivity, and contributes to mortality. There is therefore the need to find lasting solutions to the situation by improving on the quality of complementary foods. Here's a report by Antoinette Abba.
Lipid-based nutrient supplements, LNS, is a family of products that deliver vitamins and minerals, essential fatty acids, protein and energy in a lipid matrix. Most LNS have soy or canola oil, peanut paste, milk butter, sugar, and are low in moisture content to prevent spoilage. Pregnant and lactating mothers and children of 6 months and above are encouraged to take it, as it has the efficacy of preventing anemia and malnutrition. The Deputy Director General of the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Gloria Kwanzaa-Sari, said two of the major defects associated with malnutrition are stunting and anemia. She said the nationwide coverage is 19%, with Greater Accra recording 10%, while the northern region has the highest of 33%. She said stunted children suffer from physical incapacity and productivity. Dr. Kwanzaa-Sari is hopeful that Ireland's project will address the challenges of undernutrition by improving on the quality of complementary foods that pregnant and lactating women, as well as infants, take.
The Ghana Health Service and partners are working hard to implement a number of food nutrition interventions and related actions that have demonstrated effectiveness in improving nutrition outcomes, reducing child mortality, and protecting human capital. With regard to feeding of the young child, it is well known that the way to go is promoting local production and consumption of affordable and culturally appropriate food, and providing micronutrient supplements to young children, pregnant and lactating women. We believe this project will contribute to find lasting solutions to the situation by improving the quality of complementary foods.
A former principal investigator at Islands Ghana, Professor Analati, said there is the need to increase food production, especially in the areas of protein, vegetables and fruits. She said research has shown that pregnant women and children who take food supplements aside breast milk have reduced risk of diseases.
If you look at the rate at which we are reducing the content, it's coming down, but it's slow, quite slow. We still have over 160 million children who are content globally. And that rate is also coming down, but the rate is very slow. We really want to get to a point where we can really bring this down quickly and fast, because we know the consequences of stunting. It affects our lifelong, and it can affect economic development.
A lecturer at the School of Biological Science at the University of Ghana, Professor Matilda Stenasidu, said reduction in malnutrition in all its forms is possible by 2030 if programs planned are adhered to. She said the Islands project has come at an opportune time as it targets maternal and child nutrition and health.
Antoinette Abbas report.
As part of efforts to build Ghana's resilience in the event of an epidemic, the Japanese government is supporting the Ghana Red Cross Society with $650,000. Out of the amount, $500,000 will be dedicated to the fight against Ebola, while the remaining $150,000 will be for cholera eradication. At a presentation of a warehouse containing equipment and items to contain epidemics, the Japanese ambassador to Ghana, Karu Yoshimura, said his government is proud to be involved in efforts at preventing and fighting epidemics which pose a threat to national development. A report by Rita Nyapo.
The warehouse, which is situated at the head office of the Ghana Red Cross Society at Shiashi in Accra, has been stocked with 500 pieces of rain gear and Wellington boots, 500 sanitizers and 50 hygiene kits. The rest are 10 motorbikes, 5 computers and accessories, 2 vehicles, kits for disaster response, and water bags. Japanese Ambassador Yoshimura said an outbreak of diseases is a threat to human and economic development in affected countries with rippling effects on the whole world. As such, the government of Japan is determined to put forth its best to ensure that Ghana remains Ebola-free and also control the occasional outbreak of cholera.
The Japanese government is proud to be involved in efforts at prevention, early detection, management and control of this disease. I am concurrently accredited to Sierra Leone and Liberia, both countries, as you know, most affected countries of Ebola outbreak. I have seen the situation during the Ebola outbreak and post-Ebola by myself. It is really serious. Now, both countries, Ebola-free, the government of Japan is determined to put forth its best to ensure that Ghana remains Ebola-free and to assist the countries.
You heard the Japanese ambassador to Ghana, Karu Yoshimura, ending that report by Rita Nyapo.
In foreign news, EU officials have warned Europe that the time is running out on them to bring the influx of migrants and asylum seekers under control. EU Migration Commissioner Dimitri Avramopoulos said if in the next 10 days tangible and clear results are not visible, there is a risk that the whole system will completely break down. His comments come ahead of a special migration summit next month between the EU and Turkey. Now, World Football Governing Body FIFA will today elect a new president to replace 79-year-old Sepp Blatter, who stepped down amid growing corruption crisis. 207 delegates have converged on FIFA's headquarters to elect the new leader among 5 candidates. The contestants are Sheikh Salman bin Ibrahim Al Khalifa, Gianni Infantino, Prince bin Al Hussein, Toki Sakwale, and Jerome Campagné. The election process, which is expected to commence at 1 p.m., will require a number of rounds of voting before a winner is known. In another development, Sunday Olise has resigned as head coach of Nigeria's Super Eagles.
And now to end the news, the main point again. A political and governance expert, Dr. Eric Oduro-Osayi, has called for a legislative instrument to guide successive presidents on the contents of their State of the Nation address. Parliament has been urged to pass the Public Health Act on tobacco, and World Football Governing Body FIFA will today elect a new president to replace 79-year-old Sepp Blatter. The news was presented by Naja Gliago
and Abraham Donko in Accra.